All right. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Calvary. I'm Reverend Esther Robinson, and I will be your servant today. Are you happy? Are you happy? I hope you're happy to be in the house of the Lord this morning, because I am happy to be here, happy to worship with you, happy to praise our God together, and leave this place refreshed and renewed for service in Jesus' name. That's what we come for. That's what we come for. And it is a blessing to me to be here. We had a great night on Friday night this last week. We had a Filipino-American dinner, and it was wonderful. It was wonderful. We had a great time. There were some pictures up here earlier. You might have seen them. Now we have announcements. Oh, no, those are some of the pictures from our Friday night thing. And we had a great time. It was wonderful to be in fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we are all one body together. And I praise the Lord for that. Amen. I praise the Lord for that. Let's greet one another with the peace of Christ this morning. remain standing as we join together in the modern affirmation. You'll find 885 in your hymnals. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is one true church, apostolic and universal, I declare.
We believe in God, Father, infinite in wisdom and love, whose works and whose will rectitude is good. We believe in Jesus, Son of God and Son of Man, the gift of the Father and grace, the ground of our hope, and the promise of our rest from sin and death. We believe in the Holy Spirit as the divine presence in our lives, whereby we are kept perpetual remembrance of the truth of Christ, and find strength and help in time of need. We believe that this issue manifests itself in the service of love, as set forth in the example of our blessed Lord, to the end that the kingdom of God may come upon the earth. Amen.
We've got Bradley, we've got John, and I want to God's right is covenant, which means promise, is covenant on our hearts. Rather than what else do you think God's right on our hearts? Joy? That's great. Enjoy. Happiness, right on our hearts. These people in the congregation help us out. What is God going to write on our hearts?
Peace.
Hope, okay.
Faith.
Faith.
Charity.
Peace.
Peace. Patience. Peace. I heard charity and patience. Charity.
Love.
Kindness.
That's the first
one. Kindness. Patience. Friendship. Slow down. Okay. Forgiveness, okay. Manners, okay.
Strength.
But we're not alone. We don't have to come up with these things all by ourselves. It's God who's going to help us. God gets the rules, first of all, to help us. And so we have the law, and we can turn to where to find the law? Where can we turn to find the law?
The Bible.
We can turn to the Bible, but we also find something there called grace, as well as law. We find grace, and that means love. That means unconditional love. And God's going to help you and I to do all of these things, have all of these things written on our hearts. And I'm so thankful that God has created you and that you are in front of all of you. Let's bow our heads and have a prayer. Gracious God, we do thank you for your many good gifts, and we know with complete trust that you will give us whatever it is that we need for this day and every day. We ask you to bless these children and their growth in your truth and grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Come forward for the offering. I want to tell you about something that I don't give you today, and that is our music director, Andy Haney, going to be attending Music and Worship Arts Week in Lake Geneva this June. And this is to further his education and training and directing choirs and leading music. And so we are very grateful to be able to provide him with this opportunity and want to give you the chance to also help toward that in your second mile gifts over and above your offering. If you feel called and want to send Andy to this training, please make a note on your check or on the envelope that says this is for Andy's training, and we will do that. Will the ushers please come forward for our tithes and offerings? Andy says if I tell him, you'll probably get more. Not plan. You have to return. Can't worry. No way. Sorry, I have to pay. Praise God, we are to you today for the gift of the way of our life. Many of us, we love much. Give your son to show us the way, your truth, and your hand. No, we believe God is the land for us. And we give thanks every day, every day. Jesus, amen.
in person, God wrote his law on a hillside so long ago. For you and for me, Jesus died. Love's greatest story was told.
Ron Coleman writing harmony for that, too.
The harmonious Coleman.
The harmonious Coleman. That was beautiful and a perfect lead into a time of prayer. So I would ask you, settle yourselves in your place. Be still. Take some breaths. Close your eyes. And sense God's presence right here. Right now, in your hearts and between hearts, and commune with him And when you feel called to do so, whether silently or loud, lift up your voice in prayer to God for thanksgivings and for concern as we go to God in prayer.
Calvary family did not look this way. Our children face this decision every day.
Wendell Caesar.
Our church and all its ministries. People who feel that they are truly alone.
Loving God, you created us in your image, and you have put a new heart within us, one with your covenant written upon it. Today, you have called us to follow you in your way, to be your people, to be one in you. And may we know that we are not alone. Help us to remember to turn to others and ask others to pray for us, to ask for help and guidance. For you have called us to love our neighbor, not only for us to love others, but also to be loved by others. In our time of need, when our faith wavers and when we feel unloved, may we be reminded of your love and grace through the love and compassion of our neighbors, that we are one body in Christ. It is in Christ's name and using his words we pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Now if you'd stand and turn in your hymnals to page 338. Where he leads me.
Thank God. If you'll join me in the reading from Hebrews chapter 5, verses 5 through 10. Christ did not glorify himself in becoming a high priest, but was appointed by the one who said to him, "You are the Son, you are my Son. Today I have begotten you." As he said also in another place, "You are the priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." In the day of his flesh, Jesus offered prayers and supplication with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because his reverent submission. Although he was the Son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. Having been designated by God a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
The psychiatrist and Christian writer M. Scott Peck tells of treating a woman who had been involved in a variety of cults. And Peck says, "I asked her one day, 'Tell me about Jesus and how he died.' 'He was crucified,' she answered. Something passed the way that she did everything she could to avoid pain propelled me to ask her, 'Did it hurt?' 'Oh, no,' she responded. 'I persisted. How could it not hurt?' 'Oh,' she replied, 'he was just so highly developed in his Christ consciousness that he was able to project himself into his astral body and take off from there.'" Well, that's one theory. A Unitarian friend of mine continually reminds me that there is a danger in thinking of Jesus as both divine and human. He says that if we think that Jesus was divine, we begin to excuse ourselves from the call to follow him to the cross. Well, we think Jesus was God, so he could do those things and it didn't really hurt him. So really, I'll worship him, but following him is a bit too dangerous. Unless we take the human pain and suffering of Jesus seriously, we may fail to take seriously our own call to face pain and suffering for the sake of the kingdom of God. The gospel lesson reminds us that our calling as Christians is to follow him, and that following him includes following him to the cross, not as spectators, but as participants in suffering for the sake of the world. And in Hebrews, what Bob read for us a second ago, gives us an intensely human portrait of Jesus, one filled with mental anguish, the dread of anticipated suffering, pleading for mercy, and finally, resignation to his fate. The Greek word for his earthly experience, his fleshly life, is sarx, and it means meat and bones and blood and muscle. It's a declaration of Jesus' real humanity. And the verse continues, "Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears." The rabbis used to teach that there were three levels of prayer. One level of prayer was the verbal or silent prayers that are thought out and controlled. And then there are loud cries, shouting at God in anger or anguish. And then there are tears, pure emotion and pain. Hebrews shows us a Jesus engaged in all three, but most especially the loud cries and tears, pouring out his fear and his pain to God. one who feels no pain and no fear, one who is not human, does not weep and cry for God. Verse 7 continues, to the one who was able to save him from death, and he was heard. Jesus knew that the path he was on led to death, to the cross. Jesus also knew that God could save him from this end, and Jesus was not afraid to let his fears and feelings be known to God and to others. What agony he must have felt. You could save me if you would, but you won't. Why won't you? Why won't you? My God, why have you forsaken me? If you can do this thing, why are you going to do it? I found a wonderful little story that I'd like to share with you about a boy in the Boy Scouts. And he was running a race one night, and he tripped and fell. And he fell face down into the gravel and got some piece of gravel lodged under the skin on his forehead. So his father took him a mile or so down the road to the emergency room. And the doctor was good, but his bedside manner left a little bit to be desired. And the story goes, he says, as I lie there on that cold, hard metal table, he came at me with a huge needle to numb my forehead. And I was deathly afraid of them. So he said, Daddy, Daddy, please, Daddy, don't let him hurt me. Please, Daddy, Daddy. And the doctor threw a leg over me to hold me down, put his left arm down on my chest, and proceeded to inject the needle. And all the while, I continued to cry and to beg and to plead for my daddy to make him stop. And just as the needle entered, I saw my daddy's hands, knuckles white as he clenched my jacket. And I looked up and I saw a tear in the corner of his eye. And it was the only time I saw my father cry. Daddy, 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 he had cried. I was heard. Oh, yes, I was heard. And I was denied. Hebrews 5:8, although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. Here is a great mystery of the faith. Where we are, God in Christ has been fully, completely, and totally. He's been there. So about the most scared, lonely, and troubled, you've been. And Jesus has been there. Think about the moments when you have felt ignored and abandoned by God. And Jesus has been there. Think about all the time you just did not know if you could make it another step, another second. And Jesus has been there. The promise of the good news is not that if you are a Christian, life will be easy. The gospel is not about ways to make your life, your marriage, your career, your children, or anything else work out in a way pleasing to yourself. The gospel is the call to follow Jesus to the cross and beyond. To follow Jesus in serving the poor and the needy. To follow Jesus in reaching out to the despised and rejected. To follow Jesus in standing up for those who are oppressed and ill-served by this world. To follow Jesus in fighting against illness and evil wherever they may be found. And sometimes, following Jesus to the cross means we will suffer for our commitment. That we too will be rejected and scorned as much as those with whom we take our stand. But Christ calls us to follow him. It's not an easy path. It's not a painless path. And it's not likely to be smooth sailing. It is the way of us. And the promise of the gospel is that where God calls us to go, Jesus has already been. And as we go, Jesus is going with us. Amen and amen.
If you stand and look through the screen behind me, we'll sing "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus."
May grace, mercy, and peace live in your hearts and in your lives. As we leave from this place, may God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit now and abide with each of you, now and always. Go in peace. Amen.